Proverbs chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Now, as you study the scripture and you understand that all the way through the book of Proverbs, the wisdom that's being spoken of here is the Word, and that is Christ. That is what this is about. This is about Christ and the wisdom of His Word and His grace and His gospel. And the wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city, she uttered her words, saying, how long? How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'm going to come back to this, but I want you to notice that did not say pour out my spirit upon you. It says unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Verse 24 says, because I have called and ye refused, I've stretched out mine hand and no man regarded. But you set at naught all my counsels and would none of my reproof. Verse 26, I will also laugh at your calamity, and I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord, and would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and shall be filled with their own devices. The Word of God said very simply here, the Lord said in verse number 26, I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when your distress and anguish cometh upon you. If God would help me this morning, I'm going to talk to you for just a couple of minutes on the subject of when God has the last laugh. For you note takers this morning, I'll give you a simple three-point alliteration. And I'll try to give you something directly from this scripture. This is not a lot of my opinion. This is what the Word of God says. I'll give you this and we can go to the house. First of all, as I look at this scripture this morning, I see the invitation. Verse number 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates of the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known mine words unto you. I think it's of the utmost importance as we read through a passage of Scripture, we understand the definitions of those words. And so many times my vocabulary is so narrow and I don't have the ability to articulate what I mean to say or what's in my heart. But I do find many times as I look at these words, if we'll study not only the English word, but sometimes even the original language, it sheds great light on an understanding of what God's saying, and God's rebuke here is to the simple ones. The word simple here means foolish. It means unwise, and it means silly. There's a lot of things that tragedy brings out. Sometimes it brings the good out in individuals, and sometimes it brings out the evil. And I'm just going to be quite honest with you. Sometimes it brings out foolishness and silliness, and people that just act stupid. And I don't mean to be irreverent about the way I say that, but the fact of the matter is, I see a lot of glory hounds. They want to run around and jump right in the middle of something, and I've said this time and again, there are multitudes that'll do anything, and they'll give life and limb for the cause of Christ, just as long as they get credit and somebody pats them on the back and they get a photo opportunity to take a picture and put something on Facebook that makes them look good. God knows who you are. God knows where you're at. God knows who we are. God knows me. God knows my motive. God knows why I say what I say, why I do what I do. And God's got you figured out, honey. He knows where you're at. He knows who's the simple, who's the foolish, the unwise, the silly. God rebukes the scorners. The word scorn means to hold in extreme contempt, to despise, and to mock, and to laugh. There's one thing that I've loved and I've treasured about working with these veterans that I've worked with the last 3 weeks. God has given me a multitude of young veterans. The first few days, God gave me an aide and 2 young men from the Citadel that came here to volunteer and to work, and they treated me with such respect. And those young men would pick up my papers and they'd pick up my laptop and let me walk through the door first, and they just showed a great deal of respect. And they realized, and some of them wasn't even saved. Some of these military men that came, I had Army Rangers that sat in my living room trying to figure out how to get into some of these places and try to help, that called me sir and yes sir and no sir and what do you want me to do, sir? But I find that in the day that we live in, there's so much disdain for the preaching of the Word of God, that the Baptist preacher in America is nothing more than the butt of chicken-eating jokes and a bunch of foolishness in the minds and the hearts of men that are scoffers, that are scorners, that hold an extreme contempt for the things of God and despise and mock the things of God, the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the gospel of Christ and the house of God. It's nothing more than a joke. And the Word of God says they despise His reproof. The word reproof means rebuke. It means correction. And it means chastisement. Verse 23 said, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. This word turn you at my reproof means to turn back, to turn away, to withdraw. It's a military term that means to retreat. And it's somewhat like the meaning of the New Testament word repent. But it holds the idea of turning away from foolishness, turning away from sin, turning away from iniquity, and turning towards the voice of God to receive instruction and correction. We live in a day when people don't want to be corrected. We live in a day when people don't want to be told what to do. And they'll look at me and say, preacher, you take God and the Bible, the Holy Ghost in that church and go jump in a lake and don't be telling me what to do. People don't want to be told what to do. That's how I was when I was lost and unregenerate without God. When I was a young man, I did not want to be told what to do. But the Word of God said, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. I said already previously, not upon you, but unto you. What does that mean? It means to offer an invitation that says, if you will turn, if you will listen to me, I will freely give everything you need to remedy your situation. God said, I'm not pouring it on you, I'm pouring it out to you, but you're going to have to receive it. God said, I'm calling you and I'm trying to get your attention to cause you to turn from foolishness, to cause you to turn from sin. Just long enough to hear my voice. God's give a wake-up call to Fairview. God's give a wake-up call to Buncombe County. And God's give a wake-up call to Western North Carolina. God said, I'm trying to get your attention. Just because God gets your attention, that don't mean you're saved. That ain't salvation. That's God getting your attention so you can hear him long enough to know the grace he's poured out unto you. God let you be here this morning to hear this message. And God rejoiced in the death of some of his saints and called them home through this tragedy. But there are multitudes in this tragedy that woke up in the regions of the damned because they scorned and scoffed for the last time. They had their opportunity, and their opportunity passed them by. And the word unto means an invitation, the availability of the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of mercy. I see the invitation this morning, but I also see the inclination. You know what the inclination of man is? God, would you just leave me alone? Take this somewhere else. And I see people, they'll do this in their heart and in their mind. They will see the tragedy. They'll see the loss of life, the loss of property. And when it's all over with in their heart, they'd never say this out loud. They'd never shake their finger in the face of God and say this, but in their heart they say, yeah, but it wasn't me. I see the inclination. Verse 24, because I've called and ye refused, and I stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye set at naught all my counsel and ye would none of my reproof. You see, the simple this morning have an argumentative spirit. The simple this morning have an obstinate disposition of the mind that they will not receive correction. And they just, hey, don't preach at me. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. Verse number 7 in Proverbs 1 says, the fear of the Lord is at the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This morning, as I stand before you and as you sit in this congregation, as many may listen by way of internet today, there are essentially two types of human beings. And you're one or the other of these. There are two types of human beings. There are those that will be humbled, and there are those that will be hardened. And you're one or the other. There ain't no door number 3. You will either be humbled or you will be hardened. And that choice is between you and God. And this morning, as you said under the sound of my voice, you're one or the other. God said, Jacob, have I loved, and Esau, have I hated? What was the difference between Jacob and the difference between him and his brother Esau? Jacob was a supplanter. Jacob was a liar. Jacob had a lot of bad problems going on with Jacob. But there came a day that Jacob had an encounter with God and wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and he touched him in his thigh. Jacob walked away that day with a limp. And from that day forward, Jacob never walked the same way again. And the difference in those that will be humbled, there comes a day you wrestle with the angel of the Lord, and God touches you in such a way you'll never walk the same way again. You'll never talk the same way again. You'll never be the same human being you used to be because God supernaturally makes a change in your heart that makes a change in your life, and you'll never be the same again. But Esau would not be humbled, but he hardened his heart. And this morning, he's hated by God. That means a lesser love. That don't mean God didn't love him. That means God loved Jacob more because Jacob was willing to be humbled and not be hardened. Can I say to you this morning, I'm not living in some alternate universe. I don't live on some unrealistic planet that you don't live on. I realize life and the human experience this morning is filled with heartaches. There's hardship. And there's a whole lot of times that life just ain't fair. And Satan will use all of that to do you harm and to beat you down in every way possible. He'll ravage your mind. He'll ravage your heart, and he'll steal your soul. He'll use the heartaches that you've gone through to harden your heart. Why? Because if he can wound your spirit and harden your heart, he can cause you to build a wall. It'll be a fortress that you build to protect yourself from outside forces, and you say, I will not be hurt again. It's pretty quiet this morning because you know what I'm talking about. Therefore, many times when God or God's man or God's word reproves you and tries to correct you, that pride is so wounded and your feelings are so hurt and that wall of defense goes up and you harden your heart and you get mad at God and get mad at the preacher. It's amazing to me how many times people get mad at God and they won't tell God, but they'll get mad at the church and they'll get mad at the preacher and they'll get mad at everything that represents God, because they don't want to be corrected. I see the inclination. And finally, this morning, I see the desolation. By definition, the word desolation means destruction. It means ruin. It means waste. It means a place deprived of inhabitants and otherwise wasted, ravaged, and ruined. That explains a lot of what you see up and down Garen Creek this morning. But that's not the ruin I'm talking about. I'm talking about the devastation of the lives of human beings, the hearts of men that have hardened themselves to God. Verse number 24, because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You set at naught all my counsels. You would none of my reproof. I'm talking about the desolation. God said in verse 26, I will also laugh at your calamity, and I'll mock when your fear cometh. I hope you do understand that there are men, women, boys, and girls that perished in our midst that are screaming for a drop of water in the regions of the dam today, because at some point in their life, they would not regard the call of God. They would not be reproved and they would not be corrected, and they chose to live their life the way they wanted to live their life. And I know this sounds incomprehensible to you, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we have made God so warm and fuzzy that we don't understand that God is a God of judgment. We don't understand that there were certain individuals that went down into those muddy depths for the last time screaming the name of God, and somewhere over the portals of heaven, Almighty God looked out and laughed and said, I gave you a chance to call on me. You remember that Sunday morning? You remember that Sunday night? You remember that revival meeting, and I called you and you mocked my son that bled and died on the cross of Calvary, and now God stands over the portals of heaven and laughs as they meet their destruction. You say, Preacher Mike, I don't like that. Won't you tear this page out of your Bible? Won't you tear that page out? Because that's what it says. God said, I will also laugh at your calamity, and I will... Hey, it's real this morning, ain't it? Folks act like that's not real. That's just some words. That's just some Old Testament law. No, that's God's word. That's the attributes of God. God is love, but God is holy, and God is righteous, and God demands judgment. God gave his darling son on the cross of Calvary to pay our sin debt. And if we refuse to turn our face toward Christ and refuse to repent of our sin, there comes a day that in his holiness, Almighty God has no choice but to judge your sin. And when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, and would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Man said, I'd rather be a whoremonger than to follow God. And while he lays in a deathbed, dying of AIDS, eat up with gonorrhea, and begins to call on God, God said, well, you know, that fornication you love so much, let that help you now. A man lays on his deathbed, eat up with cirrhosis of the liver, his body riddled with drugs and alcohol, and begins to call on God for help. And God says, now let that Jim Beam, let that George Dickel, let that Jack Daniels come help you now. I believe you're getting it, aren't you? You got choices to make, and you better make them before that day of judgment comes. God's given folks an opportunity. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. Christ this morning is the wisdom of God. And the gospel is the call of grace. And how you respond to that call will determine your future, and it will determine your eternity for every individual. For those that reject the tender call of the blessed Spirit of God and refuse to be corrected and set at naught His counsel and stiffen their necks, one day will come and your destruction will come as a whirlwind in distress and anguish. And you'll call on God, but He won't answer. You'll live a miserable life and you'll die a miserable death, and you will spend a miserable eternity. Verse 26, God said, I also will laugh at your calamity, and I'll mock when your fear cometh. I've seen a lot of folks mock, and I've seen a lot of folks have a lot of bad things to say about God and about the church, about the preacher, about the preaching. You can mock, and you can make light, and you can harden your heart if you want to, and you can laugh in the face of God, but I'll promise you, when reality sets in and you begin to call for help, Almighty God's going to have the last laugh. Sure, I'm glad today's not a day of judgment. Today's a day of grace. Today's a day of mercy. That God set His face toward this part of the world, the buckle of the Bible belt. God said, you've had great light. God said, you've had great, great light shed upon you. And where there's more light given, there's more required. To whom much is given shall much be required. That's what Jesus said. To whom is given much shall much be required. The Bible belt, we're the buckle of that thing. We had great light. We're going to stand in great judgment. But you know what God's done? Just out of His tender mercy in these last days, God saw fit to come by and shake us one more time and say, you've been sleeping, you've been playing, you've been messing around. It's high time you get serious about serving God and loving God, making sure your heart's right with God. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I love you this morning.